Welcome to episode 48 of the Practice of Nonprofit Leadership. I am Nathan Ruby. Tim, my podcasting co-host, is feeling a little under the weather today, and so I am flying solo. And I got to tell you, Tim is one of my very, very best friends, and I absolutely love being around him. So it makes me a little sad to be doing this this episode by myself, because I thoroughly enjoy the time that we spend together doing this podcast and recording. But I will do my best to persevere today by myself. So today we are going to spend some time together on a few thoughts that I have on mindset. But before we get to mindset, two quick things. First off, a quick tease on next week's episode. It's getting to be, you know, late summer. Kids are starting to go back to school. And if your organization is like a lot of small to medium nonprofits, you might be experiencing a little bit of cash flow issues. That's why Tim and I have worked up an episode talking about cash flow, including a few simple steps that will help you manage it a little bit better. So be sure to tune in next week for that episode. And secondly, at the end of this episode, I've got a special offer for you today. And, you know, I think it's going to be kind of cool and maybe a little bit fun. So work your way all the way to the end of this episode. And I'll leave you in suspense, and we'll see what the offer is when you get there. So, all right, well, let's get on to today's topic. And that's mindset. And this might come as a surprise to you, but executive directors and nonprofit leaders are in fact human. Now, I know that might be a shock to you, especially since nonprofit leaders and small to medium organizations basically have to show up every day for work as Superman or Wonder Woman, just to hold things together, you know, just to hold even. But in fact, we are human. What happens around us in our homes, in our communities, even in the world, impacts the way we think, our emotions, and our ability to do our work. We are influenced by what is happening around us always. In order for us to be successful over the long haul, we have to work on our mindset. Now, the simple definition of mindset is a person's way of thinking or their attitudes. Now, a simple example of mindset might be the concept of a glass being half empty or half full. And you probably are aware of that concept. You know, you look at a glass and it's got water in it and it halfway. And how do you see that? Do you see that as half full? And typically you're called an optimist. And or do you see it as half empty? And if you see it half empty, you're a pessimist. And, you know, most people are probably somewhere in between those two. But I've got a quick example of the glass being half full or half empty. And that is my dad and me. My dad can do anything. He is a do-it-yourself extraordinaire. He could do carpentry, plumbing, electrical, mechanical. He can do drywall. He can lay carpet. He can weld. He could do any of those things. And for years, decades, his hobby was to buy motor coaches, like, you know, the big Greyhound bus motor coaches, and then turn them into motorhomes. And often when he got a vehicle, he would totally gut it, take it down to the bare studs, and then build it back from scratch. And one time he had one coach and he didn't like the transmission in it. So his way to solve that, his solution was to buy a bus from the local city transit authority. He bought that bus because he liked that transmission. He swapped the transmissions out in the driveway of his house and then resold the transit bus with his transmission in it. It is amazing what he could do. And he did that through his 60s and his 70s. Well, now dad's in his 80s and, you know, he just can't change transmissions like he used to. And so he doesn't do as much of that anymore. But my dad loves problems. He loves to solve problems. when a single light on an entire motor coach wouldn't work, it was a challenge to him to figure out what the wiring problem was to fix the light. Solving that problem and getting that light to fix was a joy for him. He saw problems as a challenge. He was definitely half full. I am the opposite of that. I cannot do plumbing, electrical, mechanical, carpentry. I could do some basics, but I can't do anywhere near to the level that my dad does. And those things do not bring me joy. When I go out at night and I start my car and the headlight is burned out in my car, yes, I know how to fix it. Yes, I can replace the light bulb. Do I get joy from it? No. Do I get satisfaction from it? No. I am half empty. I am a pessimist when it comes to these solving these type of problems. Now, as executive directors, you are going to walk in the door of your organization on any given day, and you will be inundated with problems. Now, if those problems are in the area that you are personally strong in, well, there's no problem at all. You know exactly what to do. It'd be like my dad and his motorhomes. You walk in, you're strong in the program area, and there's some issue within the program area, and actually, it probably energizes you. You are ready to get at it and solve that problem. But what happens when you walk in the door, and let's say you're strong in the program area, and you go to your phone, and there's a message there, and it's from the auditor, and they found a problem with the audit. Well, you're probably might be, you know, you could be half empty on that problem. You're just not as excited to call the auditor back. This is the area where mindset becomes critically important for nonprofit leaders. So today I've got three simple things for you to think about and that I think will help you to start on the journey. And it is a journey. I mean, it's not like you flip a switch and say, okay, I've fixed my mindset. This is a long journey. But I think a couple of these things today will help you get started on that journey of improving your mindset. All right, here we go. Number one, remembering what you do matters. Your job, your career, what you do for a living, it matters. It matters to your end users. It matters to your staff and your volunteers. It matters to you. The reason you got into this work in the first place was to change someone's life, to change the world. If you are changing the world, it is way easier to have a positive mindset when you walk into work each morning. According to a 2019 poll, 84% of nonprofit staff across all departments are satisfied with their job. And okay, 2019, that was pre-COVID, so maybe a tad bit dated, but I think it's still relevant. So this is good news. The vast majority of nonprofit staff are satisfied, which probably means they like their job. Their job matters to them. And in the world of the nonprofit world that we're in, especially in smaller to medium organizations, we are so busy just trying to keep the doors open, just trying to keep the garbage can empty, trying to keep the roof from leaking, trying to keep the toilet working, is that we forget to take time for ourselves. And you have got to give yourself the freedom, give yourself the time and the freedom to acknowledge to yourself that your job matters and your organization matters. And if in fact what you do matters, and I think we've just, pretty much stated that it does, then how lucky are you to have your job? How awesome is that? All right, number two, you need to be authentic with yourself. Now, typically, when we talk about being authentic, we are talking about how we interact with others, like in groups or in teams, where how other people perceive you. And as leaders, we are told that we must be authentic. Well, in preparing for this, I read dozens of definitions of authentic leaders online. And you can't see me because this is a podcast, but I'm using my air quote fingers around authentic leaders. And after reading dozens and dozens of definitions, I'm probably more confused now than before I started. But that's okay, because I'm not talking about being authentic to others. I'm talking about being authentic to yourself. What story are you telling yourself? Are you telling yourself that you should have never been hired to be a leader, that you have no idea what you're doing, and it's just a matter of time before you really mess things up, and it's just a matter of time before everyone knows that you have no idea what you're doing? Or are you telling yourself that, yeah, you know, it's true that I don't know everything and I don't always know what I'm doing, but I'm getting better. Today, I was better than I was yesterday. And tomorrow, I'm going to be better than I was today. And in the meantime, hey, I have others around me that I can count on who can help me. And together, we will figure things out. Which story are you telling yourself? As a nonprofit leader, are we perfect? Of course not. I've been a nonprofit leader for 20 plus years now. And last month, I made a boneheaded rookie mistake. It was so rookie that I didn't even know that I did it until it was brought to my attention later. And you know, now that I'm talking about it and I'm thinking about it, it still irritates me that I did it. There's no excuse for me to do what I did. I missed it. I wasn't paying attention. You will make mistakes. However, you need to be authentic with yourself, telling yourself that you're doing the best you can and whatever you're doing is good enough. You are going to do better tomorrow and you're going to do better the day after that. So today, tonight, when you go home to your families, to your kids, to your dogs, to your cats, to your horses, whatever it is that you go home to, knowing that you did good and that you're going to do it again tomorrow and that you're going to do it to better. Okay, number three, enthusiasm. Now, just like being authentic, enthusiasm is normally talked about in the context of being part of a team. And of course, when you talk about teams, sports analogies are pretty common. And so I didn't want you to be disappointed. So I have a sports analogy for you today. So when I was in high school, I played high school football and I loved high school football. I loved it so much that literally it was the only reason I went to high school. If it hadn't been for football, I would have skipped high school and gone straight to college. It was the best part of my high school experience. And getting ready for games, if you've watched football at all, especially prevalent in college football, but there's a lot of before the game starts, before the team takes the field, there's a lot of, you know, jumping around, a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of excitement. And, you know, the team's getting geared up and cranked up. And I didn't necessarily need that. I did not need an external enthusiasm provided for me because I was already enthusiastic internally. And the reason I was enthusiastic internally is because I loved the game. I loved everything about it. I loved the prep work. I loved the play calls. I loved the scouting reports on the other team. I loved all of that. And I especially loved hitting. I loved the contact. Now, I didn't like being hit. That wasn't as much fun. But I loved to hit other people. And I was excited about it. I was cranked up about it. I didn't need external enthusiasm given to me. However, there was one player on the team who was his personal mission in his own mind to get everybody excited and to get everybody revved up for the game. And so in pregame, as we were getting ready and, you know, everybody's jumping and getting excited, he would go around and headbutt everybody on the team. Now, if you don't know what a headbutt is, that is when, you know, one person slams the forehead into the other person's forehead, into their head. Now, obviously, it's football. We have helmets on, so it wasn't like it was a terrible hit head to head, but, you know, it can still hurt. And so I was standing one game. I was standing there getting ready mentally, preparing, and I wasn't looking, and this player came over kind of at a 45 degree angle, and he headbutted me, and he was a little taller than I was, and so his head was actually coming down instead of straight across, forehead to forehead, and he hit me so hard that, knowing what I know now, I know he probably gave me a concussion, because for about 5 seconds, my vision was blurry. He hit me in the head so hard, I think it almost knocked me out. Now, that's not the type of enthusiasm that I'm talking about when I'm saying enthusiasm. What I'm talking about is your own internal enthusiasm. While I was researching for this episode, I saw some documentation that said it is very difficult to maintain enthusiasm for something you are not passionate about. Now, I hadn't really thought about it that way, but it sounds kind of obvious. It's hard to be enthusiastic, excited about something when you really don't care about it. As leaders, enthusiasm for your work should be very prevalent for you. It should be right out in front for you. Now, I'm not talking about jumping up and down and headbutting people and then tackling someone. That's not appropriate for what we're doing now. But you should go to work most days excited about your job and what you do. Will you have bad days? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Will you have bad weeks? Yes. Will you have a bad month? Maybe. I mean, I've probably had months where I would qualify them as a bad month. Should you have a bad quarter? Yeah, probably not. You shouldn't be. If you are not excited about what you're doing for 3 months in a row, I'd say there's probably something going on you need to address. If you do not have enthusiasm for your job or your organization, you need to look at finding a different gig. Because without an internal enthusiasm for your work, you will never thrive as a nonprofit leader. And here's the thing. You as a leader, you deserve to be working for an organization that you have just all kinds of enthusiasm and excitement for. And in the same genre, the organization deserves to have a leader who thinks it is the most exciting, awesome gig ever. So you deserve and the organization deserves to have your enthusiasm. If it's not there, it's time to look at maybe making a change. So, all right, here's the special offer. And I hope I hope you think it's special and you hope that it's fun. Mindset is something that I am really interested in and that I have personally done a lot of study on. I tried to keep this episode a little shorter. I could go on about this all day long. That's how excited I am about this topic. If you would like to dive into this a little more for yourself and kind of explore for you what that means and how it would be applicable to you, here's what I'm offering to do. Send me an email. My email are in the show notes. And I will send you a link to a book that got me started thinking about mindset and how it was applicable to me. Now, this is not my book. I didn't write it. I'm not the author. It's a book that someone else gave to me and I read it. Oh my gosh. I probably read it. I don't know, 15 years ago, maybe 10, 12, something like that. I'm not sure when I first read it, but since then I have read it 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times and I keep rereading it and I just got done reading it again. So I'll send you the link. You can read the book then. And here's the offer. I would love to discuss it with you, whether it's a phone call or email or whatever it is, and just go through it together. And maybe I'll have some insights. Maybe you'll have some insights for me. We could call it our own little book club. So that's the offer. If you're interested in doing that, send me an email, let me know you're interested. I'll send you the link and then we can go through the book and just kind of talk about it. So that's all we have for today. I hope you found it helpful. Thanks for joining us. Until next time.